everybody, and happy new year. Welcome to 2023. We're going to start off the new year right with worship and a good service. So let's stand to our feet as we go to worship.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this new year, 2023. Lord, this year represents a lot of things and a lot of opportunities, but most of all, it represents another moment in time where we can honor and worship you. Well, another year to serve you, another year to learn from you, another year to be strengthened by you, another year to be better in you. And so, Lord, we give this service to you, this first Sunday morning service of 2023. We do it in a way that honors and glorifies you. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you turn and greet someone this morning? Tell them, Happy New Year! Well, good morning. Excuse me for my voice. I've been hanging out with 140 young people and adults for New Year's Eve. We got done at 1 a.m. this morning and had a wonderful time. Went to the movies. We went, what else did we do? We went ice skating and played broom ball, and that's actually where I lost my voice. I might have got a little competitive during broom ball.
No.
Spent approximately 2 hours screaming at the kids across the ice that my team was going to win. And my team did win, so, but my voice did not. Anyway, we had a wonderful time, and want to say really quickly thank you to those of you who had your kids come and hang out with us. That was awesome. We had a great time. Thank you to the adults who came and helped us. And thank you, parents, just for being on time and picking up your kids. Pickup was 1 o'clock, and Pastor, at 12:55, every kid was picked up. So, yeah, come on now. Listen, you want to? That's my love language right there. Is my Pastorville's love language is when you pick up your kid on time. Yeah, it's like I love your kid until I don't. And so, when I want you to take him back or her. We want to say welcome to Sunday morning service. Thanks for being here for New Year's and just starting out. I think you've started out your new year the best way you could right here in church. And but if you're a visitor today, maybe you've never been a part of our services. You just come to check us out. You're trying to figure out who the weird guy is that they gave the mic to. My name is Pastor Phil, and they do it every week, so you can come back and see what happens next week, too. But if you're a visitor this morning, we have a card in the seat back in front of you. If Miss Joyce didn't catch you in the foyer and give you one, if you'll grab one of those and fill it out and place it in the offering bag, we'd really appreciate it. It's going to pass just a little bit. Gives us a record of your attendance and lets us know that you came to hang out with us, and we would really, really appreciate it. Got a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, today is the day, the start of our usually pretty much annual 21-day fast, and we're going to fast from today through the 21st, we're challenging you. If you've never fasted before, it's simply the principle of setting aside something in your life. Most of the time in the Bible, it was food, but we'd ask you to set aside something in your life and replace that time with the Lord in prayer and in meditation. And so maybe you want to skip a meal. You say, hey, every day at breakfast, I love breakfast, and I'm going to skip that today. Or maybe you're going to do a Daniel fast. In the book of Daniel, it talks about how he and his men ate only a specific diet. And so if you'd like to do that, you can do that. And or maybe you want to say, I'm going to fast social media. That takes too much of my time. And you know what? You don't need all that drama anyway from Facebook. And so you're going to fast that and spend time with the Lord. But our challenge is this. No matter what it is, would you take the challenge in this next 21 days to fast something and replace that? And this is the important part, and replace that with time with the Lord. And if you'll do that, I think as we as a church do that, the Lord will honor us and bless our church. And I'm believing that we'll see miracles. We'll be able to see renewal in people's lives. And so I want to challenge you with that. With that in mind, next Sunday night, tonight we don't have any services, but next Sunday night we're going to have a Come and Grow prayer time. And so from 6 to 7, the sanctuary will be open. You can come in and pray. And this is just kind of an add-on and an accessory to helping you to meet the goal of this 21-day fast. And so come in and pray with us and seek the Lord's face. And how many of you know that Scripture talks about when the believers come together in times of prayer and seeking God's face, you know what happens? It's crazy. God moves. And how many of you'd like to see God move in and through us? Amen? Amen. And so you'll see the whole schedule for the Sunday evenings. The Women's Life Rally is coming up. There'll be more information in the foyer in the weeks to come. And so we just appreciate you. Appreciate you being here today. And just read your bulletin. Lots of stuff coming up and down the pike. We ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. My goodness. Well, once again, I want to say we had a wonderful time last night and up through this morning at our lock-in, and most appreciative of just the Lord keeping us safe and letting us have a wonderful time. We celebrated at about 10:30 last night. From about 10:30 to 11, we just stopped for about 30 minutes and had a worship time. And so we just dedicated a little bit of time, and it was a neat scene watching young people as we ended the new year, ended the 2022, going into the new year, just setting aside a few minutes to just lift their hands and praise the Lord. And then we had a cereal bar. We had lots of cereal. But before we did that, we worshiped the Lord. And so may we continue to always dedicate all that we have to the Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. And we thank you, Lord, for the cheerful hearts and the acts of obedience that we give back unto you. Lord, would you take what is given, multiply it, and may, God, more people come to know you, not just for salvation, but, Lord, for freedom, for deliverance, and for healing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Stand as we go back into worship.
God, all that I am, and by my heart on the altar. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands and give God praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord, this morning. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we lift up some needs this morning. We lift up Karen Hunt to you. We pray that you would just be with her at the hospital. Ralph and Elena's daughter-in-law, just touch Karen. We pray, Lord, just minister to her body. We continue to pray for Debbie Rowland, that you would be with her, Lord, as she's going through these cancer treatments. Lord, just minister to her. Take away this illness, Lord, and heal her body. We pray for the man that my parents met yesterday, David, who has cancer. We just pray that you would touch him. I can't remember his last name, but you know who he is. Touch David today. Touch Michelle Boydston, who's not feeling well today. I pray that you just minister to her right now. Continue to be with Larry Newell, Lord. We just continue to pray for Larry and Pam. God, I know he would love to be here in service. We just pray that you touch him right now as his church family lifts him to you. We thank you, Lord, for touching Marcia Gerst's sister Mary. We just thank you for ministering to her, and I just pray that you continue to touch her. Be with Shirley Grindstaff, Lord, as she's not been feeling well for a couple of weeks now. Just touch her. And, Lord, we just lift every person to you today that is in need of healing, that is in need of your touch, in need of encouragement, in need of a special word from you, a provision, Lord, whatever it is they have need of. We pray for our country that greatly needs you today. God, we just pray for our leaders. We pray, God, that you would move across this nation. Father God, just give us another great awakening like we've experienced in the past, where hundreds and thousands of people turn to you all across this wonderful nation. We pray, Father God, that you just move in this place, in this church, in this city. We thank you, God, for another year. We just look forward to 2023, and we set our hearts and our minds on seeking you. The start of this year, Lord, we set our minds and our hearts on praying and fasting and believing your word, that you respond to those who diligently seek you. We thank you, Father God, today. Just meet with us in a special time here this morning. Quicken your word to our hearts. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Well, Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you for being here on this first Sunday of 2023. It sounds so futuristic, doesn't it? I would have never thought 20 years ago that we would still be here in 2023. You know, I just thought that sounds so far off. But here we are, and God is good, and he's still on the throne, and he still touches people and changes lives. And aren't you thankful for that this morning? Amen. Praise God. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. We're going to pick up in our study on Mark today. Mark chapter 2. And we're going to read start at verse 18. My pulpit's not big enough this morning. I got too much stuff up here. Mark chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. Once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them, but someday the groom will be taken away from them and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Lord, thank you for your word, and I pray that you would just speak to us today, that you would do the preaching today, and just use me in a small way in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message today is "It's Time to Stretch." And that will make a little bit more sense to you later, but right now, that is the title. I think it's interesting that we come to this passage in our remarkable series as we are looking at the life and teachings of Jesus through the Gospel of Mark. I think it's interesting that on this first day of 2023, on this first day of our annual 21-day fast, we come to a passage there that talks about fasting. I think that's interesting. I think that's in the heart of God, and it's no accident. Believe me, I didn't plan it out because I never know from one week to the next how far exactly we're going to go. I started doing that. I went all through the book of Mark a couple of 3 months ago and planned it all out. And it only took about 2 or 3 weeks and that schedule was tossed because I quit at different places. So, but that's okay. We're going to go and truck right along. And I just think it's awesome that it's talking about a discussion about fasting. I believe that fasting and prayer is one of the most important things that we can do and should do every year and oftentimes throughout the year. And in this passage, there were some people that asked why Jesus' disciples were not fasting like John's disciples. Speaking of John the Baptist, he had some followers or pupils, people that learned after him before Jesus was on the scene. They were called disciples, and the Pharisees, they fasted on, its tradition says Pharisees fasted every Monday and Thursday. And so they said, why aren't your disciples fasting like John's disciples and like the Pharisees? What's up with that? And you know, in our world today, there are other religions that practice fasting. The Islamic religion practices fasting very seriously. Their people, they have a required like 30-day fast every year. The Buddhists fast, Mormons fast, other religions fast. And I have to say this, some of these other religions seem to be more diligent than many Christians are about practicing fasting. They seem to take it more seriously than some of us here in the Christian church. And how many of you know that Jesus himself says that he is the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father but by him. And so we're the only really true and right religion. And I don't say that because I'm saying it. I say that because the Word of God says it. And yet sometimes we don't take things as serious as other religions do. I mean, I think it's amazing. The Mormons require their students, before they go to college, to take 2 years of missionary work, and they go all around the country. I'm thinking, how on earth do they convince these kids to do that and get on a bicycle and wear a white shirt and a tie and go to people's houses all over the place? How in the world do they do that? And just some of the other followers, where in Islamic, where when the bell rings or the trumpet blasts or whatever, they have to fall on their knees, roll out their mat, wherever they're at. And some of these other religions seem to me more serious about things than we are at times. Anybody else ever thought that? Kind of interesting. So I wonder today if there would be people who would say, why don't you Christians fast the way other religious groups do? What's up? Honestly, tell you the truth, I don't believe I ever heard a message on fasting or heard much said about fasting, and I've grown up in the church all my life. I don't recall ever hearing as a child or as a teenager the preacher get up and preach on fasting. Now, maybe I was passing notes to the youth group and wasn't listening the whole time. I grant you that. I did that a little bit. I know you're surprised, but I did. But I just don't recall. And until 25 years ago, I never preached on fasting. I never did much fasting. And 25 years ago, on December the 31st, 1997, we were having prayer meeting at the other building, and Shelley Helms' brother Bruce from Florida came up to me and said, Steve, I'd like to talk to you sometime while I'm here from Florida this week. I said, no problem. And he made an appointment and came in. He sat across my desk and he said, Steve, it's good to be visiting with you and your congregation this week for Christmas, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever fasted much? It kind of blew me away. I thought, where is this coming from? You know, I was expecting to talk about 100 other things besides fasting. He says, I want to talk to you about fasting. I said, well, honestly, I really haven't done much fasting. And he talked to me about what his church there in Florida had been doing and told me several books that I should get about fasting and how there was a revival of the discipline of fasting going on in our nation. And so ever since that day, that night, that week until now, I have tried to incorporate fasting in my own life and in the life of this church. We do a fast, a 21-day fast or a 30-day fast almost every year, and sometimes more than one. I believe much of the success that this church has had, if we've had some success, I feel like we've had some success over the last many years. I mean, I don't know of a lot of churches that support 75 or 80 missionaries on a church this size of $100 a month. We're able to build this building 20, can you believe it's been 20 years ago this Easter? And just some different things. It's continued to be a light in this community. I believe much of that is because we have set ourselves to prayer and fasting and started off the year, every year, doing that. I believe there is a connection there. These days at the start of each year set the course for the entire year and put things into action that we will see with our eyes later in the year. Remember Daniel? Daniel set himself to seek the Lord, and he fasted for 3 weeks, 21 days. There, I think it's in Daniel chapter 10, I believe. He fasted for 3 weeks, and finally there was a breakthrough came, and when the angel came to him, he said, Daniel, from the very first day that you set yourself to start fasting and praying, I heard you. I heard you from the very first day. Can I tell you, set your mind to praying and fasting. God sees your very first day, your very first moment of trying to draw closer to Him. He said, I saw you from the very first day, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia have withstood me these 21 days, and Michael came and he helped me, and we're here now. So some of the things that we pray and we believe for and we fast and pray about, maybe right here over these next 3 weeks, we may not see anything happen until October. Or maybe even 2 years from now or 5 years from now. But they had their genesis in this time of fasting. So you may not see something happen after 3 weeks and say, well, that I fasted. I fasted every lunch for these last 21 days. I fasted every lunch hour, or I fasted 10 days, and I haven't seen anything God do anything. There's never a moment that you spend in seeking the Lord that's wasted. Never. His word will not return void. You may not see that prayer now, but it will happen later on in God's perfect timing. Now back to the question about Jesus and his disciples not fasting. So some would say, see there, Pastor Steve, we don't need to fast. They didn't. Well, you got to read the whole story. They didn't at that time. They didn't then. Why? Because the physical presence of Jesus, the bridegroom, was with them. He was there walking with them, talking with them. Right at that time, they didn't need to fast for him, for he was physically with them. And that's what he said there. He says, they're not going to fast. I'm here with them. But then he says, Jesus says, someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Well, that day came after Jesus' death and resurrection, and he ascended back to heaven 40 days later. Jesus has been gone, and he's been gone physically for the last 2,000 years. And Jesus says, when I'm gone, then my disciples will fast. He wasn't just talking about those 12. He was talking about all who claim to be a disciple of Jesus. Can I see your hand this morning if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus? That's all of us. He says, then they will fast. The groom was taken away. So since then, fasting and prayer has been an important practice of maintaining a closeness to the Lord that allows his followers to hear him, to be empowered by him, to get specific directions for him that otherwise might be missed. It sharpens our edge. Have you ever felt like in your Christian life things started getting kind of dull? You started feeling kind of dull and you're just not connected? You like that when you ever trying to pair your what are those called? Earbuds, or whatever they're called. Not earbuds, earbuds. Earbuds, a movie about a dog, right? Yeah. When you're trying to pair your earbuds with your phone, and when you're doing it, it'll say, what? Connected. Does yours do that? Well, mine does, anyway. When they're connected in my earbud, it'll say, connected. I hope during these next 21 days, I can hear the Lord's voice say, connected. We need to connect to God. You say, well, we connect to God every time we come to church and worship. I want to tell you, fasting and prayer connects you to God in no other way better than any other way. There's no other better way to get connected than in fasting and prayer. That's why Jesus said we should do that. So not long after Jesus ascended, we see the disciples and other followers of Jesus praying and fasting. And I believe, though the Bible doesn't say specifically, that the part of the waiting involved in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord and they were praying and they were seeking and they were waiting on the Lord, I kind of think some of them might have been fasting, if not all of them. The Bible says they were worshiping and praying and doing what Jesus said to do, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out. Hebrews 11:6 is clear. He rewards those who halfway seek him. Huh? Sincerely, earnestly seek him, not halfway. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, we read, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord, and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and they sent them on their way. It was during a time of fasting and prayer that the Holy Spirit spoke. I believe that is key. When we're fasting and praying and seeking God, we can expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us. He spoke to them and says, hey, I've got a job for Saul and for Barnabas, and so I want them to go out and to be missionaries to the Gentiles, and that's what they did, and we're thankful because we're here today that they obeyed and did that. And so after more fasting and prayer, It says they laid their hands on them and they sent them out on their missionary journeys. So we see that fasting and prayer brought direction through a word from the Holy Spirit. And we need that today more than ever. We are living in the last days and hell is raging to destroy lives. We need direction. We need direction from the Lord as to what to do and how to do it. Amen. So the first point today is what fasting does. What fasting does. Isaiah chapter 58 sheds some light and also compares fasting for show and fasting for true worship and drawing near. Isaiah 58, let's look at that. Begin at verse 1. Shout with the voice of the trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people of Israel their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawning. Your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call. The Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. When, not if, we fast, we need to make sure our heart is in the right place. We must do it from a right motive, not just going through the motions. We can't just go through the motions, as verse 5 speaks about. When we fast and pray, humbling ourselves before God, we are receiving his heart and mind for several things. We are receiving his heart and mind about freeing those in bondage. And when I speak about freeing those in bondage, that also includes yourself. When you fast and pray, not only do you help other people as we should, but you help yourself. Lightening the burdened, removing those chained to sin and sinful habits, sharing food and physical and spiritual. We have the heart of God forgiving to those in need, removing oppression, helping the troubled, shining light in the darkness, receiving God's guidance, restoring strength, being like a river of living water, rebuilding the ruins, restoring the broken, including the healing of the land. Y'all know 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. I want to begin reading at verse 11. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord, as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times, I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then, if my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. He says, if my people, did you know before there's a people, there has to be a person? When there's a group of people that are seeking the Lord, it starts with a person. It's on a person-to-person basis. People is a group of persons. Y'all know that. So before we could have my people praying, we must be a person that prays and humbles themselves. When he talks about humbling themselves, I believe he is talking about fasting. There is no greater way to humble yourself than in fasting and prayer. And when you humble yourself like that, James chapter 4 says it like this in James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. It says, but he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Fasting brings you closer to God, and when you get closer to God, you walk with more of his presence, more of his power in your life. John the Baptist said it right. He said, he must increase, and I must decrease. Fasting and prayer decreases you. It's like dying to yourself and increasing more of him in your life. Some things that we can face might seem a mountain that just won't move. Have you ever prayed about something or had something on your heart and mind that you think it just ain't happening, it's just not moving, that prayer's just not working, that person's just not getting well, or that person's just not doing right? It's a mountain. I don't see how anything can ever change. You ever faced a situation like that? The disciples faced a situation like that in Mark chapter 9. Jesus had been away doing something, and a man brought his son to the disciples. He was demon-possessed. He threw the boy on the ground and had convulsions and just tormented this young man. And his disciples came along, and they tried to help him. They tried to cast the demon out of this little boy. Didn't happen. So Jesus said, bring him here to me. And he talked to the father, and the father said, I believe that you can do that. And the boy was set free. And later the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him about it. It says in verse 28 of Mark 9, afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind, everybody say this kind can be cast out only by prayer. And down in the margin it says some manuscripts read by prayer and fasting. I think there are some things that is not going to move until you add fasting with it. When prayer just doesn't seem to work, try adding fasting. Some things require more than the norm. I have several books on fasting that I've collected over the last 25 years. Some I've loaned out and got back, and some I've loaned out and didn't get back. And one of them that apparently loaned to somebody and didn't get it back has a story that I remembered. It's in the book by Mahesh Chavda in his book, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. I remembered that story and I looked it up, and it was on the internet when I put in the information about that. So I want to share with you this testimony about fasting and prayer. It says, Mahesh Chavda tells the following story. The Lord led me to work in a state institution for profoundly challenged children. Their families couldn't take care of them, and so the state did. I was assigned to certain cases, and there was a little boy called Steve who my heart went out to. He would constantly beat himself up. This had started when he was very young and had continued for years. He was now age 16. He would beat himself and then cry. It would hurt my heart to see him constantly crying. He would beat him so much that the skin of his face was like crocodile skin. At the time, I had recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I prayed, Lord, you have told me to come here and love these children, but how can I practically love little Steve? Very clearly, I heard the Lord say to me, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. I thought, fasting? No one has taught me about fasting. I said, okay, and I took neither food nor water for 3 days. By the third day, I felt that the Lord released me to drink water. I would hear someone flush a toilet and would get jealous, thinking it was a waste of water. That's literally in there. It says, after 14 days of fasting, I felt the Lord say to me, now pray for him. I took little Steve into a large office. There was no one else there. He couldn't walk because he was crippled. Most times he was restrained so that he couldn't beat himself up. I said, Steve, you may not be able to understand me, but I love Jesus and I am his servant. And in the name of Jesus, you tormenting spirit that has tormented him all these years, let him go. Stevie's body was lifted up and flew backwards through the air about 18 feet until it hit the wall, leaving him pinned against the wall with his feet dangling off the ground, whereupon he slowly slid down the wall. He let out a breath, and a foul smell of rotting eggs filled the whole room and then disappeared. I thought to myself, well, something just happened. I untied Stevie's hands. He slowly brought his hands up to his face and started to touch his face and then began to cry. He had realized that he was not being driven to beat himself. As I helped him up, his legs were completely straight. That's where the Lord taught me to pray and fast. And I started soon doing 7-day fasts and 21-day fasts. Some things. Maybe you're facing one of those some things. I challenge you to add fasting to your prayer and see what God will do. Maybe it's a job you need and you can't seem to get work. Maybe it's a healing in your body or your family. Maybe it's an unsaved loved one, a child or a parent or a grandparent or a grandchild that needs the Lord's help. Try fasting. Let's take God at his word. You said some things don't move unless you add fasting to it. So, Lord, that's what you said. I have a book, another book, and it's not even in the original cover. I got it from Rick Vandenberg many years ago. Rick, of course, pastored Covenant Church for many years. He's passed away now. He gave me this book, and I had to copy it, or he copied it for me and gave it to me, and I stuck it in this old general counsel book of 1999, Orlando, Florida. But it's copied and inside there. This book was written in 1946, their first copy, and then another edition in 40 and 50, and then its third edition, which is what this is, was in 1952. But how many know the principle is still the same? God's word never changes. I just read to you one about Stevie. I want to share with you another a little testimony here that this was in December 1945. How many of you were alive in December 1945? Most of us weren't. there was some massive revivals that started in the late 40s. And this talks all about those and fasting and prayer. This book is called Atomic Power with God by Franklin Hall. It says, on the 31st day of December 1945, after hearing Reverend Franklin Hall give some enlightening teaching on fasting, I started a consecration fast. I partook of no food during the entire fast of 14 days. Water was taken for the purpose of cleansing out the system. I was a heavy smoker, and it seemed impossible to give it up. But on the third day of the fast, I had no further desire for smoking. On the fourth day of the fast, hunger left me entirely. A little later, all weakness left, and to my surprise, I began feeling better and stronger day by day. I could pray more earnestly and with greater results. Several days later, I received the glorious baptism of the Holy Spirit. I kept busy with my work, which was not heavy. The fasting did not bother me much. When Brother Hall tells you about what Brother Hall tells you about fasting is true. In our new spiritual consciousness, our eyes are open to discern the true nature of our former natural environment. And it worked out just that way in my life. It was a glorious experience. When I began the fast, I weighed 140 pounds. This was 29 pounds underweight. At the conclusion of the fast, 14 days later, I had lost 16 pounds, for I weighed 124 pounds. 60 days later, I had not only regained the lost weight, but also gained 29 pounds more, which was exactly what a man of my age should weigh to the pound, that is 169 pounds. Everyone told me that I looked better than they had ever seen me look, and I do feel better than I have felt for 20 years. All my nervousness is gone, and I have better complexion, and best of all, I've received the Holy Ghost and have a much deeper experience with the Lord. My fast was shorter than any of the other brothers and sisters, but someday I hope to take a 40-day fast, as it certainly was a glorious experience to fast 14 days. People do not know what they are missing. Charles Wilson, San Diego, California. There are several other testimonies in this book I don't have time to read this morning. Second point of the message is, how do I fast? Start small and increase with time. In time. If you've never fasted in your life, don't start tomorrow and say, well, I'm going to do a 21-day fast. I'm not going to eat anything for 21 days if you've never fasted a day. That's probably not smart. And you probably will last 2 days or maybe one. Start small and increase in time. Start maybe by just fasting breakfast every day. Instead of eating breakfast, I'm going to get out my Bible. I'm going to go to a solitary place in the room or in the living room or the dining room or out on the picnic table, and I'm going to spend time praying and reading the Word and get closer to God. Or maybe it's lunch or in the evening, whatever. Let start small. It's best to drink only water, as it helps cleanse the system, as this man just read, where I just read. However, if you want to not eat any food, another type of fast is you do away with all solid food and just drink coffee or tea or Dr. Pepper. I've actually done that before. I could let go of it all but Dr. Pepper. It wouldn't let go of me, no. If you are on medication, check with your doctor and tell him what you're doing and just let him know. Journal your thoughts, your feelings, your scriptures, whatever it is as you're fasting each day, jot down some thoughts that come to your head. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. Maybe a verse of scripture that comes to mind. I have two or three journals in my office that I've kept up with over the years that have all kinds of notes and stories and testimonies in it in my own heart and in this church. Read your Bible and books on fasting. I have a book that's been very good, and Jensen Franklin is probably one of the leading revivalists of fasting, and this book is called The Fasting Edge. You can get it at Mardell's. It's a very good book. I've read it about four times. It encourages you. Pray and read the Word. You're not just on a diet. You're on a fast. Ask God to give you more of himself, more of his love, more of his wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit, more of his power, and whatever else he wants to give you so that you can be a light to the darkness, so that you can be instrumental and free in the oppressed, so that you can have power to pray for people, so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are different types of fast. Pastor Phil mentioned this early in the announcements. There's a water-only fast, what you'd call a normal fast. Don't fast any longer than 3 days if you're not drinking water. After 3 days, you could die. So unless it's definitely a God thing, Moses fasted like that, but because God led him to do it, he was in the hands of the Lord. But if you're not eating anything or drinking anything, you can only go 3 days. But maybe during your fast of 10 days or 21 or 2 days or 40 days, just drink water. There's a Daniel fast, as Pastor Phil mentioned, which basically is no meats, no wheats, and no sweets. It's a type of fast where you eat certain foods. He also mentioned a media or entertainment fast. Maybe you're just going to turn off the television for 21 days. That would probably be a good thing to do. Certain foods that you're not eating, maybe no sweets or whatever. There are varying durations of a fast, 1 day per week, 2 days per week, a week, 3 days or 7 or 10 or 14 or 21 or 40. There's lunch fast or dinner fast, whatever it is. Here's the key. The key is setting aside the physical to pursue the spiritual. That's the key. Don't get so hung up in, well, I don't know what to do. I accidentally ate a bologna sandwich. Man, I was supposed to be fasting. Don't beat yourself up. Just get up and start again. I read a testimony about a pastor who was on staff at another church, and the Lord led him to go to another church and start preaching there, and he decided to fast. And after a few days, he blew it and ate a Whopper from Burger King, and he just felt like he had blown it terrible. He called his former pastor and said, man, I was doing so good, and I just got the best of me. Devoured a giant Whopper from Burger King. Pastor said, well, okay, go on and continue on. Don't let it, destroy you. And so he went on, and God did some amazing miracles in that church. So God sees your heart is the key. God sees you're doing this to connect to him in a greater way than you could do otherwise. So ask the Lord to direct you as you want his leading in whatever you do. There's so much more that could be shared, but I want to close with this thought, and I want to pass out a couple of items. I need three or four ushers. Who can help me here? About four people. I need you to hand one of these papers to everybody. You take that. I need you to hand a rubber band to everybody. Everybody gets a paper and a rubber band. The paper that I'm giving to you is not something you're to turn in to me. It's for you. It's a prayer and fasting commitment form. I actually forgot about these, but we did this once before, passed out the forms like this, maybe twice, but inside of this fasting book by Jensen Franklin, I found my fasting commitment card from February 18th, 2001, 22 years ago. And so I just kind of copied it on there. Like your corporate aim, I filled it in. I forgot what I said there. Believing for victory in 2023. How many of you think you want to see some victories in this coming year? Amen. That's going to be our corporate aim for the church, believing for victory in 2023. And then the affirmation, God being my strength and grace being my basis, I commit myself to the church-wide fast. Food from which I will abstain. I'm reading this old one. Let me get out the one I filled out for today. And you can put on there what your fast is going to look like. Beginning date. Whatever date, mine I put today, 1/1/23. and time, 12 a.m. Ending date, winter, you know, try to figure out if you're going to go all 21 days, but January 22nd or 21st, rather. If you're going to go 5 days, do that. And then I have listed their private aim. What is something that you are fasting for? You know what I put on mine? I'll just tell you. There's a song we've been singing called Coming Back to First Love. Coming back to Jesus. Based on Revelation 2, 4 to 6. That's what I put, coming back to first love. I also put other needs like Debbie Rowland and Caleb Brooks. You may have other needs that you can list there. And then sign it and date it. Don't give it to me. I don't want it. It's between you and God, but you can take this. And then you say, well, what's the rubber band for? I'm glad you asked. The rubber band is to remind us of this. A rubber band will never fulfill its purpose until it is stretched. And neither will you and I. I had to stretch this rubber band to get it on my wrist. If it was solid, my wrist is too big. It wouldn't fit. But as I stretched it, I could put it on. We use rubber bands to keep papers together, to keep them from flying all over the place. We stretch it and put around that. I use rubber bands when I get all my tax stuff ready for Uncle Sam. All my bills, all my receipts. I use a ton of rubber bands to rubber band them all together before I put them in a box, you know. But they're not useful until they're stretched. And I believe the Lord is saying he wants to stretch us. He wants to stretch you. Say, well, I've never fasted. Good, let him stretch you this year. Maybe you can wear the rubber band like I'm going to as a reminder. Oh, I'm fasting. I can't have that Whopper. I can't have that Ted's. I can't have that McDonald's. I can't have that. No, I'm kidding. Whatever it is, you can't have it. And let that rubber band remind you. Remembering this service is the paper and the rubber band to help you get a hold of God. It's time to stretch. Now the title makes sense, doesn't it? It's time to stretch. As we enter into 2023, let's allow the Lord to stretch us and lead us to new heights and greater depths in God. Amen? He wants to transform our old cracked wineskins into new ones. He wants to take our old cloth and make us new so he can be poured into us and work through us in new ways. Let's believe for victory in 2023. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for each one here. I pray, Father God, that you would speak to each person about their role and how you want to stretch them over the next 21 days in our fasting and prayer time. Lord, I believe there are testimonies that are waiting to happen. That will not happen unless we take serious your word, because there are some things that require prayer and fasting. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to each one today. I pray for victories. I pray for salvations. I pray for healings. I pray for baptisms in the Spirit. I pray for great miracles, Father God, to begin to happen as we wait on you and seek your face in these next 3 weeks. I pray for a deeper commitment. I pray that we would all come back to first love. Take away the lukewarmness. Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions of being a Christian. We need reality. We want reality. You're coming back for a church that is ready, that is on fire for you, God. Help us to be that church. The gentlemen are coming to serve communion this morning. The way I want us to do it this morning, As you come forward for communion, you're going to be doing it on your own. As you come forward, I want you to find a place around the altar and make that your commitment time and say, God, I'm committing myself to you in greater ways. Lord, as I take these elements, this juice and this bread, I thank you. I remember for what you've done for me. And Lord, I want to live my life for you. These gentlemen are going to be standing here. Come forward. Bring your sheet with you if you want, or leave it at your seat, whichever. But let's fill these altars. Make it a time to start out 2023 on your knees at the altar, receiving communion, saying, Jesus, I love you. Ladies, come ahead and sing the song. You don't have to wait on us for receiving communion. Just do it on your own as the Lord directs you.
Body there would not
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your name is victory. Your name is victory, Lord. Let us go in your name, Father God. Let us seek your face. Let us seek your name. Let us seek your presence as we go into this new year, Lord. We just pray, Father God, that you would do a new thing. Do a new thing. Stretch us out of our comfort zones that we might be more usable in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Could we stand together? Just lift your hands and give the Lord worship. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Oh, Lord, this first day of 2023, we worship you. We love you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, let your will be done. Glory to your name, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In closing, sing this song with me. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something that name. Sing it one more time. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about your name. You're my master, my Savior, the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all something about. Oh, there's something about. Yes, there's something about that name. Lord, go with us today, we pray. Let us remember that. Let us proclaim that to everyone we know and everyone we come across, Lord, that Jesus is real, that Jesus can help, that Jesus can heal, that Jesus is the hope for this world. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.